All right, hour three here. We get you to 6 o'clock as the Kings take on the Warriors tonight. No Steph Curry, no Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala is listed as doubtful as Vince Carter makes his way out onto the floor for the Kings and the Warriors. Always great when we can chat with Herm Edwards. We love seeing him up in Lake Tahoe each and every July, but he joins us now right here on Sports 1140. Herm Edwards from ESPN. Herm, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm well. You guys doing okay?
We're doing great, Herm. Herm, I thought what happened here in Oakland yesterday, that's just a bad look for the NFL. It's a bad look for both teams. Seemed like Michael Crabtree had this in his mind, that this was, you know, not going to die down after what happened last year. I want to get your thoughts on the incident that occurred between the Broncos and Raiders.
No, I agree with you, especially when it comes to two elite players, you know, two of the better players in the league, Pro Bowl players, by the way. Something like that occurs, you would hope now what happened, obviously, where it happened, some other players couldn't get involved and break them up, but then it continued to be an issue. And you're right. I mean, that's, you know, we always say the NFL is the league that we feel like everyone wants to emulate what we try to do, and we try to do it right. And 90% of the time, we do it right. But every once in a while, when you have these kind of outbursts, it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. You know, fans get all excited about that, but that's not the football that's taught, or that's not the way you play it either. So I know these guys will get fined. We'll see where it goes from there. I don't know if they'll get suspended a game or so. We'll wait and see on that.
Herm, staying in the AFC West, the Chiefs start out 5-0, and boy, oh boy, have they had trouble. I want you to tell me, though, Grant's brought this up a couple of times. Does any of this relate to the Eric Berry going down? That's kind of when this started happening a little bit.
No, I think it's more of their offense really is not the explosive offense we saw early. You know, when you think about points, I mean, they were scoring in the 30s.
Yep.
Early in the season, and now all of a sudden they can't find their rhythm offensively. Now, a lot of people are playing what we call cover two on them, not allowing them to have a vertical presence up the sideline. But with that being said, the middle's open. But you have to be a patient quarterback. There's a lot of checkdowns when it comes to cover two. You know, when you watch them play early, if you just remember all the explosive plays they had, whether it was Kelce, whether it was Hunt, whether it was Hill, we don't see that. That's not a part of their offense right now, and they're struggling. You're right. I mean, they were the ones about after week five that we just said, you know what, these guys are going to run away with this division and go hide. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? That L.A. Charger team is playing kind of good,
Ooh.
Too.
Yeah, you know what I love about what the Chargers are doing right now? You know, the old adage is the NFL season really begins on Thanksgiving. Well, now Thanksgiving's in our rearview mirror. Here's what I like about the Chargers. You know what? They're able to put points on the board, and they've got two bona fide pass rushers, and you've got to account for them on every single play. The Chargers, to me, are in a really good position right now.
They really are, and when you look at their schedule as well, you know, they have a schedule that says, hey, we can make a run at this. And they're a very confident team right now. Phillip Rivers is, you watch him against the Dallas Cowboys, boy. He's the old gunfighter, man. He just slings it. You can't get to him because he throws it fast, you know. And Keenan Allen is playing marvelous right now. You know, their tight end Henry is playing well. This offense has got a little vibe to it. And you mentioned the pass rushers. You're right, with Ingram and then obviously Bosa. Their secondary is doing a nice job as well too, taking the balls away, giving Phillip Rivers some extra possessions. All that adds up to winning football.
Herm, when you look at the Steelers, this is a team that's 9-2. But I was telling Grant earlier, they're kind of a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. are they that threat to the Patriots, who are you know, the poster boy for consistency most times?
Well, this is how they built their team, especially on the defensive side of it, where when New England in the past had spread them out and they weren't equipped enough in the back end to cover those guys. They had to play a lot of zone. And when Captain America sees zone, he just kind of rips it apart. Now, no longer is that the case. They still play some zone, but they've got some players in the back end that are doing a nice job of covering people. They're kind of one of those teams that they know how good they are. It's kind of like, you know, they almost look at their opponents each week and go, okay, well, you know, we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And in that game last night, I mean, you know, Hundley did a nice job. I mean, he was a guy that really was struggling. And last night, boy, I tell you what, Mike McCarthy did a fabulous job with him to get him ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers there. That's a tough place to win, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that stadium is very, very difficult. And really played well. That offense played well. Defense for the most part. But here again, when you have that big three that they have, and this is what stars do, in the moments when it's big, they make plays. Mm-hmm. Them three big stars made some plays.
Herm, I want you to talk to me from a coach's perspective about the Rams and what Sean McVay may have been facing. I mean, here's a guy that's younger than some of the guys he's talking to. So it's the first day you're in the meeting room, and you got to win the respect of that team. You're coming off a horrific season. You weren't there. You got a quarterback that you need to play well. And to think of the job that he's done with his coaching staff, and it's just amazing to me. So give me your thoughts on when you talk about Sean McVay.
Well, you know, he's an MVP candidate for Coach of the Year. He's done a remarkable job. I actually did their first game on radio for ESPN when they played the Colts. And you could see the difference then. I was down on the field, busy with a bunch of the players, and they were really excited. And the quarterback, I mean, he looked very comfortable as a quarterback. He wasn't the same guy you saw last year where he was, you know, he didn't really know how to – go about doing his business, you know, because the guy, you know, now you got to remember this too. He was at a school at Cal where he read off the cards. You know, he never had to go in the huddle and call the plays and make decisions at the line of scrimmage. Everything was off the cards. So he struggled a little bit with that last year. Didn't play early, obviously. And then to come back and have the season that he's having right now says a lot about Sean, but says a lot about the kid too, because he was under a lot of criticism. You know, people thought he was a bust. I mean, and for him to come back with the year he's had, that says a lot about how tough he is mentally.
You know, Herm, a team that you know a bunch about, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug Peterson, similar situation. Red zone efficiency, 17 out of the last 20, and boy, oh boy, they're going for the kill on fourth downs. What's gotten into this Eagle bunch?
Well, even last year, you could see some things building, obviously, early. Then they hit a little speed bump, midway quarterback, you know, young guy, rookie. But he has really, really just changed the whole personality of this organization, and the fan bases are excited about this kid. I mean, he is what you see. He's legit. I mean, he is probably going to win the MVP award. I mean, it's between him and Captain America up there in New England. But the way he's playing right now and the way the offense is playing, defensively, they've got a nice rotation of rushers. They got a good linebacker core. They had a young secondary that people were a little bit nervous about, me being one of them early in the season. Said, you know, they're not seasoned. We'll see what happens. As this season has gone on, they've gotten a lot better as well. Aguilar is a guy that, when you think about him last year, he was a guy they actually benched. I mean, he mentally was not ready to play football. Mm-hmm. And he is having a fabulous year. Jeffries comes over and is playing well. They got two tight ends that are really good. So this is a good football team. They are legit. I think that what they're trying to do now is win enough games where they have home field advantage. We have to go in there and play them in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, Herm, another coaching question for you, because a couple of weeks ago we heard the word quit as it was associated with the Giants and the Broncos. And I got to be honest, Herm, I don't even know how to define the word quit. I think we can. Yeah. It's the eyeball test. You can tell when guys are out there maybe not playing 100%. But here's what I'm going to ask you. There are so many teams right now that really are not playing anything other than their jobs, personal pride. You always say, hey, you play the game to win the game. But still, right. talk to me about coaching a team in the month of December, as we turn the calendar here next weekend, that has, you know, that's not in the playoff picture, and it's your job to get the guys to go out and play, you know, at a certain level. How difficult can that be?
It can be difficult, but I think this too, how you go about your business is very important, and I've always stressed to these players, you know, the name on the back of the jersey belongs to you. And when you go out there, you actually perform, and it's on tape for everyone to watch, especially your teammates. And you never want to be one of those guys that all of a sudden when the game's over and the next day we're reviewing the film and the players are going, hey, man, what's this guy doing? You know, this is an emotional game. You have to have emotion. And I think when people say, you know, teams quit, I don't know if it's quit so much. It's that they lose their energy. You know, and when you're losing, it's easy to lose energy and think, here we go again, right? So you got to keep that burden away. You always got to give these guys hope. There's always a game to be won. And it's the only game you can win is the game you play that day. And that's important. You know, winning is important. Regardless of how many wins you have, There's a standard that you have to build in with your team. Now, some teams are young, and you understand that a lot of these guys, when they're young players, and I went through this in Kansas City with a bunch of young guys where they were just learning how to be professional football players. There's this process of learn how to be a pro, and then the next phase is learn how to win. You know, so that it's easier said than done, and it's a difficult task. You know, but that's the task you have sometimes, and that's the type of team sometimes you're coaching.
Hey, Herm, I'm so happy you said that, because I'm going to equate that to the NBA, because we're talking about the team that we covered, the Sacramento Kings, and they're a very young team. They hit the reset button last year, and they have all these young kids, and the first thing they have to do is learn how to be a professional. In basketball, you only have 12 other teammates, but in the NFL, you've got a locker room of 50-plus, and you got a lot of coaches. Did you feel that learning how to be a professional was – does that come from you and your coaching staff mostly, or does it come from the veterans in the locker room?
It comes from both, and, you know, it comes from, you know, how they process information, how they go about their day's work. You know, this is your chosen profession. This is not a hobby. It's not like you're in college where you're a student athlete, which is important. You know, you have time on your hand, a lot of idle time. The guys that become good pro football players and have long careers, they use that time wisely. You know, they understand their priorities. And, you know, when the season gets long, it's tough, you know, and I always tell players, hey, look, we're all excited when we go to training camp. I get that part.
Right.
The key is we got to still be excited in week 10.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, these games count. I mean, you know, there's a process for how you go about doing that. Your stamina, your mental stamina is very important because of the strain that's put on you during the season. You know, obviously your body staying healthy is important as well. You know, dealing with, am I injured or am I hurt? There's a difference.
Yes,
you know,
there's a difference. There's a big difference,
you know,
coach.
And guys got to learn how to play when they're hurt. You know, if you're injured, you obviously you can't play. But
right.
Some guys want to boil that hurt. Well, I'm hurting. Yeah, that hurt. Everybody hurts. Playing hurts. I always
right.
tell players, you know, the guys that don't hurt, those are the guys that stand on the sideline. They don't play a whole lot.
Coach, what you say? You can't make the club if what?
If you're in the tub.
You know, I always tell players, you know, you always hear players say, hey, coach, I'm coachable. I said, no, there's one more important thing to being coachable. Be available. Availability is critical.
No doubt.
That's a classic.
Coach, you know, I'm not sure about this team, the Vikings, Case Keenum. But tell me this week they faced the Falcons. Who do we learn more about this week, the Falcons or the Vikings?
I think you learn more about the Vikings
wow.
quarterback, because every week I think we question this quarterback.
Yes.
We say, well, is it this week?
Right.
He's proving us all wrong. This guy's getting ready to make a lot of money. He's going to end up making it very difficult for Minnesota at the end of the season go, okay, what are we going to do now?
Right. Yep.
Because Teddy Bridgewater's sitting there. Mm-hmm. I think the Atlanta Falcons, the reason I say you don't have to worry about them, they found their sea legs. I think that Seattle win was important to them. It was very, very important to them. You know, their problem had been, and we saw it last year unfold. I'm talking about Atlanta now. In the fourth quarter and in the second half of the seasons, they would let people come back. They weren't good playing with a lead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in the Super Bowl, but that happened to them four times in the regular season as well. And that carried over a little bit early in the season when they had these leads early, and then all of a sudden late, people would come back on them. You know, we saw them play Chicago and Detroit, you know, and those teams were very close to beating them, or a play away from beating them when they had these leads, right? I think the Seattle game, really, they found their way. They looked like Atlanta. You said, okay, this is Atlanta. You know, and as much people were saying, well, you know, Julio in the schoolyard's done. Well, Julio found the schoolyard again. He said, he ain't done yet. No, I was thinking, you know, that number 11, you got to know where number 11 lines up, boys, because if you can't cover him, we got problems.
Right.
Her final thing for you, and I know that this is we don't have a solution to officiating, and I get the fact you're trying to protect the players, and I think everyone is saying, okay, fine, but, boy, we see some calls, and particularly last night and this weekend, where when you look at the replay, and, again, I know the officials don't have replays to look at, but there shouldn't be 15-yard unsportsmanlike or defenseless, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's getting very difficult to officiate, isn't it?
Well, it is because, you know, we don't know what a catch is anymore. even though we look at it, you know, five guys look at a catch and three of them say it's this and the other two. And I'm talking about fans too now. I'm just talking about the officials. I mean, Right. Five guys look at a catch and they go, three of them agree and two of them don't. Say, no, 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 okay, okay. And then you say, you know, we watch some pass interference calls sometimes, not called and called. And you wonder, well, is that offensive pass interference? How can that be? So, I mean, Right. Yeah, look, these guys, I've always said this about officials. For the most part, they get it right. They never have a home game. That's a problem too. You know, whenever they show up, it's never a home game for them. And if it comes down to a couple plays that we're talking about the next day rather than the game, that becomes a problem. You know, the officials, their job is they don't want to be seen. They don't want to really be seen. They just want to officiate the game. But when they're the talk after the game is over, that's not good.
Yeah.
Herm, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have yourself a wonderful holiday. And, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Appreciate you, Coach.
My pleasure, man. You guys have something. Thank you now.
Thank you. That's Herm Edwards, and I didn't have to ask him because I already knew the question. He was in the gym at 4 o'clock this morning. And it's his routine,
you know,
man.
That's right.
You know, that's his routine,
yes,
right?
Sir.
He's the best, isn't he? What did I tell you when you first met him up at Tahoe this year?
Yeah, you did. And the interview, to this day, it's one of the best ones. Energy, yeah, everything. Loved the man. It was great.
Yep, absolutely. Great old Harold Carmichael walking by. Hey, you can't make the club if you're in the tub.
But, Grant, as much as we laugh about it, and you know, oh, I'm coachable, I want you available, all those things, it absolutely means something, man. He's not just blowing smoke.
I just retweeted the video from Michael Crabtree and Chris Harris Jr., and there's no question that he sucker punched him in the gut. So,
oh, boy.
I mean, I can't imagine the NFL not suspending Michael Crabtree.
I would also say that's
probably not atypical or uncommon, what we saw from Michael Crabtree and punching Harris, but he clearly gave him a jab away from the play into the gut. It's there as plain as day.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times, Grant, I don't know when that happened during the game. There's always usually you're catching the guy on the second. So did
3 minutes into the first quarter is when it happened.
Yeah. Did he do something to him previous? It could have been. But the point is, hey, when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, well, you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah. Again, I'm just going to make a prediction here. My prediction is that Michael Crabtree will be suspended for one game. I'm just going to before it happens, that's my prediction.
And I would say maybe even get fined.
He'll get fined.
On top of that, I'm saying, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you get fined on top of that because it would be if you're suspended, it's without pay. That's several hundred thousand dollar fine.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So I don't think he'll be fined. I think that, you know, if you're suspended, then that is really the fine is the suspension because it's suspended without pay.
Yeah.
And we'll find out tomorrow. The league will have to make a ruling tomorrow.
No doubt.
And do I think they need Michael Crabtree to beat the Giants? No, I don't. I think that they'll beat the Giants with or without Crabtree, with or without Cooper, because I don't think the Giants will score more than 14 points in this game. And I think the Raiders, as sketchy as they look, will score. They'll score in the 20s against the Giants.
Yeah, Grant, but that's irrelevant, really. You don't want to put yourself in that position. I mean, if you are depending on making the playoffs, on winning these last few games and trying to get to a certain number, the Giants have proved that they can beat the Broncos. They've proven that they can beat Kansas City. They've done things. So this isn't a team that you just want to play with. They've obviously shown that they can do something, and now you put yourself in a precarious situation.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Coming up, Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors at 5:30. The Kings taking on a Golden State team that will play without Kevin Durant, and they will play without Steph Curry. Andre Iguodala is doubtful, so it will be a shorthanded Golden State team going against Sacramento. And warming up below me right now, Scal LaBeaussiere and Frank Mason. I would be very surprised if Frank Mason doesn't play well tonight. I don't see him playing poorly two games in a row.
Yeah, you know, I think that there was a, you know, laissez-faire attitude on some of the passes and different things, and that's not normally Frank. I would say that one way that he's going to come out, I would say defensively, I think he picks up, he gets very aggressive, and allow that, like he's done in the past, to dictate the rest of his game. And, yeah, I think Frank will be fine. He's the type of player that comes out and plays hard, and usually that overcomes a lot of the mistakes that you get early on.
Talk to me about De'Aaron Fox and some of the things that, you know, he's doing right now or not doing that when you watch him play you'd like to see.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't had some great games as of late. We've seen splashes of here and there, winning shots, different things. But there, I think kind of what I just spoke of with Frank, Grant, the ability to defensively let that dictate your game, especially when you're young. He has the ability to finish and speed and all those different things. But one of the things that jumped off of the screen at both of us in the preseason was when he first got in, there was a bucket and then there was a steal and he's out and he's using his speed to dictate the game. And a lot of times I think that he's not doing that right now. I think he's thinking on his shot a little bit. Just come off and shoot the thing. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. If you're putting your work in the gym, the results will come. That's a byproduct of it. And defensively, let that dictate. Other than that, don't put too much on yourself. Now, you do have to start to learn how to win, meaning time and score. Are we in the penalty? Drawing little fouls to get to the free throw line, those type of things. But that's going to be an ongoing process throughout the year.
All right. So, again, the Kings and the Warriors tonight. Doug and I will take you to the top of 6 o'clock. Right at 6, we'll get to game night. Pregame at 7, and then the Kings 7:30 against the Warriors. Tomorrow, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks already in town awaiting for the Kings and the Bucks. Again, that's a whole different animal altogether, right?
Oh,
no pun intended.
No, right? You know, they pose a serious problem because not only, Grant, is he just what they call the Greek freak because he's 6'11", he can shoot the ball, he can, you know, finish at the rim, but he also has the ball in his hands a lot. They allow him to play point some of the times, bring the ball up the court. So who are you going to try to match up against him and who has the quickness to maybe stay in front of him and make him shoot tough shots or get rid of the basketball? And the Kings are going to have to, after they deal with this monster that they have tonight, they'll have to think about that for tomorrow.
Oh, there's no question about that. So, again, tomorrow the Kings and the Bucks, the second of a back-to-back, and then the Kings – hit the road. It is a weird four-game trip because they go to Chicago on Friday. They play in Milwaukee on Saturday. Then they're going to fly back to Sacramento, and then they'll leave Tuesday to go to Cleveland, and from Cleveland to New Orleans. So a four-game trip, but it's a trip that there's so many days off between games two and three, even though that they're far away, they're coming back home. I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen that type of schedule before. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, Grant. Normally, once you're out, you stay out even if you got some days. But now with the 4 and 5 nights and all the different things they're trying to eliminate from the game, back-to-backs and different things like that, these are the situations that you now run in. That's why we've never seen it.
All right, Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, next here on Sports 1140. All right, the Kings and the Warriors, no Steph Curry. No Kevin Durant, probably no Andre Iguodala, but Tim Roy will be on radio. I will be on TV, and it will be the Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Always good to have you on our show. Doug is with us as well. How's it going?
It's going great. We're in this real, you know, everybody's got it. The Warriors are going through their toughest travel part of the year right now. Came off an 8-day trip and then came back for Thanksgiving, and then three games and 4 nights at home, and then tomorrow fly out and start longest trip of the year, 6 games and like 11 to 12 days depending on how you count the day. And it's been as you know around the holidays it gets really busy, but other than that the team's doing okay. I think it's been hard for them to be mentally sharp early this season just because of, you know, how hard it is to go deep 3 years in a row and all the stuff that comes along with that. And then early camp, China, and here we go.
Yeah. Doug went through this not to a degree of winning championships, but some deep seasons. And you know you're good. You have a veteran team. And I just think that's one of the biggest challenges, because I've watched the Warriors play where, and I really believe this, the Warriors toy with teams. And they know that if they have to turn it on for 5 or 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, they can do it. And they kind of did that against the Pelicans the other night, you know? And they know they're that good, aren't they?
Well, I think it's kind of it is. It's kind of like the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, the Bulls with Michael and Scotty, where, you know, announcing for either the Kings or the Warriors, you know, you'd be in the game there for a while, and you go, oh, here it is. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's that five-minute stretch, and the game's over.
Right.
And, they know how to do that. Sometimes they get a little carried away. I was just talking to Warriors assistant coach Ron Adams. He says, you know, our mantra is always we want to hit singles, not home runs. And sometimes the Warriors try too much to hit the home run all the time, and that gets them into trouble with turnovers. But yeah, it's that good of a team, and it's funny to watch. It can be a little maddening sometimes, but the other part is that everybody gives them their A game. Oklahoma City played great and I came out of that thinking, wow, hey, they're really good, and then they go and lose two games in a row, and I just don't understand it.
Tim, did you see the piece with Steve Kerr and the shuffling the cards?
Oh. I love him.
So Steve's saying he wants contact, interaction. You guys can keep texting on your phones. How does he use points like that to find, you know, creative ways to motivate these guys?
Well, I think, and also I think he's just having some fun with the writers. You know,
okay.
he did a Rubik's Cube one day. He did, you know, he's got other things. I suggested a Magic 8-Ball going back, you know, old guys going back to that. So hopefully he'll pull that out one of these days. But, yeah, he when it comes to the players, the one thing he's really good at is communication. And I think it's because he was a guy that he never knew when his number was going to get called. And he's sitting on the bench waiting, and maybe that night he plays 20 minutes or maybe the next night he doesn't play. So he's really good at communicating to guys as to what his thinking is going into games so that players understand, hey, tonight is probably not going to be a night night, or tonight I better be ready. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is one of his biggest strengths as a head coach.
What do you see as the starting lineup tonight without Curry and without Durant and probably no Iguodala as well, but what would you guess?
My guess would probably be that they would go with Caspi, maybe Livingston, or if Andre's available, then maybe they try and go with maybe Patrick McCaw to try to keep the rotations the same.
And Omri's played pretty well, huh?
Omri's played really well. He fits in with exactly what they do. He can play multiple positions. He is beautiful without the ball. Back cuts very well, which the Warriors love to do. He can spot up and hit a three. We know the Warriors like to do that. And he can defend a little bit. And so, to me, he's just fit right in. And he's been a joy to get to know. It really has.
You know, Tim, as we watch the Warriors, I mean, they're number one in a lot of different categories. They shoot the ball particularly well. One area is opposition fast break points, and I believe it's 25th in the league. Let me find my – yes, 25th in the league – 29th, excuse me, at 14.2 points a game. Do they use that kind of as a carrot to get teams to play at that pace?
Well, part of it is that. I think also part of it is that going back to what I said before, they try to make these incredible passes. And they'll try to throw a bounce pass through three guys. You know, maybe even Jason Williams wouldn't try to make that pass, okay? You know, that kind of thing. So they try that, and what happens? Live ball turnovers, and that gets the other team in the game. If the Warriors have, say, 15 or below turnovers 99% of the time, I think they're going to win the game. If their turnovers get into the 20s, that's when they really get into trouble, because then they're giving the opposition 20-plus points off turnovers, and it kind of equals everything out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, the only game that the Warriors have played this year where I was surprised by the outcome, and I don't mean this in any disrespect to their opponent, but is the game that they lost in Boston, because, you know, Boston had been like, okay, we're the new team in the East, and I figured the Warriors would go in there and go, yeah, you might be the new team in the East, but you're not beating us. And I know it's one game and it's in November, but were you surprised at the way that game turned out?
Yeah, I was, especially because they had two 17-point leads in that game. And I think it showed where the Warriors were at mentally. And, again, it showed when they were in Oklahoma City and they weren't ready to face up to what the Thunder were putting down on them that night. I think their focus and their attention to detail has been a little bit off, and I think it's in part because mentally I think they weren't ready just yet to start the season. I think they'll get it over time, and you know, again, it's a different season for a lot of these guys too, because now, you know, we're at the quarter pole and we just had Thanksgiving. It's weird. It's a little different, and I think the Warriors are being affected by it just a little bit.
You know, Steph said Boston Celtics. I tend to agree with him when you look at that next team in the NBA. I know you guys haven't seen everyone, but as you look out there, is that team that you see that might be able to compete on that level? Would you put Cleveland in that category? What do you see so far?
Well, as long as Cleveland has 23, then they're in the category.
Yeah. Okay.
That's no the question. Way I look at it. And secondly, Boston is a team on the rise. They're going to be the team that's going to still be there, I think, in 4 or 5 years just because of how young they are. They've got Kyrie. They'll get Hayward back in some way, shape, or form. So I think Boston is one of those teams on the rise right now. Oklahoma City is great this year. Obviously, they're going to have some things to do in the upcoming offseason. I think it's going to depend on how deep they go. I don't count the Spurs out, even with Kawhi being injured. I think, you know, if he ever gets back for them, they're going to be a very, very tough out for the Warriors if they play him in a playoff series.
Again, the Warriors leave for a six-game trip after this. They'll take on the Lakers on Wednesday. And you get to spend the weekend in Florida at Orlando and at Miami. You'll get a chance to see the beautiful new Little Caesars Arena. We were there 2 weeks ago in Detroit. So you get to look at everything. And then, you know what? Again, you get to, I guess, for the Warriors, what, a post-All-Star break before Steve Kerr says, okay, now, guys, now we start. I mean, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. The Warriors are still the Warriors. But for I don't know. Not playing around, seriously, I mean?
I think there'll be a higher level of concentration once we get past the first of the year. I think it's a natural thing, and I think, you know, we saw Steve gave the example. They were coming off the 72-win season with the Bulls, and they started 8-7 because he said mentally we were fried. And
that's interesting.
And it's a real grind, the finals, mentally, because of the demands upon you and everything else, and to do it 3 years in a row, I have a true appreciation. And I think one of the things that we'll look back on in 10, 20 years as one of the great accomplishments in the history of the league was the fact that LeBron took teams to the finals 7 years in a row.
Right.
Wow. That's Bill Russell-like.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
And you Bill was flying commercial, and
Bill was flying commercial, and Red Auerbach, I'm sure, wasn't paying him a lot of money.
No, and there was a lot of cigar smoke on those planes.
absolutely.
Tim, when you look at this Warriors team, and you've seen them obviously for years, the championships, all of that, is there an area of this team, whether it be bench, rebounding, defensive communication, that you're seeing that's a little bit void from what has been passed, or it just hasn't gotten to the right level yet?
Their turnovers haven't gotten to where they need to be. They need to really get better at that if they're going to be a championship-type team. And because once you get into deep in the playoffs and you turn the ball over 20 times in a game, I think that's where teams can really hurt you and make you pay for that. It's one thing to lose a regular season game over that, but if you lose a big playoff game over that, then that could really come back to bite you. So I think that's one area. I think everything else, their defense after the first week has kind of been back to where they are. If you look at when they started at the Clippers, I don't know why the Clippers always get their attention, but they do.
Yep.
They started playing much better defense from that point on, and the turnovers have a lot to do with that as well. But just on the whole, I think if there's one thing that you could point to right now that they were concerned about on a nightly basis, it's turnovers.
Final question for you. Talk to me about Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell I don't want to say, you know, it's early yet, but I'm really shocked he was available at 38 because I haven't seen a guy with that ability come in at that deep of a position. But he has great instincts. He can run down and block people from behind on the break. He's got great athleticism, and he has, you know, he has an understanding of who he is. And by that I mean he's not going to be out there, you know, jacking up threes just yet. You know, he knows he's not a jump shooter. So when he's in there, he's going to play around the rim. I think he's going to be a really effective player for them. And I think over the course of the season, as he gets more comfortable, he's going to be able to play minutes and give guys like Iguodala, West, and Livingston some more time off because they won't have a drop-off when they put him in there. I mean, his game the other night against Chicago was special. You know, to get six blocks like that. Warriors hadn't had a rookie do that in the first start since Robert Parrish.
Come on.
Wow.
Is that right?
Robert Parrish.
Wow.
The Chief.
Yes, the Chief. You mentioned a name, Tim. Andre Iguodala. He does so many different things for this team. Lockdown defender, knocks down big shots. Just speak to his importance of the overall locker room, everything that he brings to the table.
Yeah, he's got a great sense of humor, so he keeps that in the locker room. He kind of, you know, you never know, you know, who's going to get a jab from him, and that's great. I think it keeps everybody laughing. I think on the floor, he is a really smart basketball player. He understands angles. He understands opponents. He and Draymond, I don't think, get enough credit for knowing the opposition. You know, you never see them close out to a non-shooter. You never see them take the ball against a guy that's going to, has great steals numbers or is known for that. And Andre just settles everybody down. He's a really smart player and understands, you know, how to get to the right spot to make a play work or to defend a play. And it's an invaluable thing. He's part of the glue, I think, that has kind of held this team together.
You championship ring on?
I brought tonight. Yes, I want to show you and the G-Man.
I appreciate that. Is that the first one or the second one?
This is the second one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
what makes you think
cool.
I'm going to give it back because I'm holding it in my hand right now. Wow.
a very
you know what? That is unbelievable. Wow.
So
Doug, I'm looking at this ring, and it's
come on, Grant. Don't do this.
You know what? I apologize.
Let's go to break.
That is very
sharp.
Thank
you're
you.
You're awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Doug.
Grant,
you guys are great. I enjoy
that,
listening
Doug,
to you guys.
You know what? Hey, Doug, you know what?
You're,
don't get me started either. I know. All right. We'll be right back. This is Sports 11. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right. Final segment. And then game night. We've got Monday Night Football with Houston and Baltimore going on. And then, of course, Thursday, I will be in Chicago, and we'll have a two-hour show as Doug will be in studio getting ready for Thursday Night Football with the Redskins and the Cowboys. So we got a lot of football and, of course, basketball mixed in. The Kings with a busy week after tonight. Tomorrow, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then at Chicago on Friday, at Milwaukee on Saturday. Then you fly back home, and then you leave Tuesday for Cleveland, at Cleveland on Wednesday, and at New Orleans on Friday. So that's, you know, that's part of the, widening and stretching out the NBA schedule. Because of that, you have atypical days off now between games sometimes, and that's one good indication.
Yeah, it is, Grant. I personally thought that you were going to take the Greyhound from Milwaukee to Cleveland and wait for the team while they flew back to
Sacramento. Let me tell you something. Come on, man. I would actually go. You know what I would do? And you want to know? I would go to Bowling Green, my alma mater, and hang out there with some people I haven't seen in a long time.
There you go.
I would go to BG, you know?
And, yeah, no doubt. This is going to be an interesting time for these Kings. Playing, you know, you let one slip away against the Clippers. I thought you could have won. You play the champs tonight. And on a back-to-back night, you got a really up-and-coming team that struggled a little bit after a real good start in Milwaukee. Yep. And then you go on that road trip you talked about. It's going to be a tough one.
Omri Caspi is starting tonight. Also, Patrick McCaw is starting tonight. So Caspi is starting for Durant and McCaw for Curry.
What do you think about that, Grant, from the standpoint of McCaw, that starting of him allows Sean Livingston to stay in his role? Do you think that's the thought process I'm seeing from Steve Kerr?
Yeah, I would think so as well. I think that Steve Kerr feels that his team is like the teams that you played on, where when one or two guys are out, nothing changes because you guys all know the system, and everyone that plays just seems like the parts are, I don't want to say interchangeable, but for all intents and purposes, they kind of are. And, you know, it was kind of like when Peja didn't play and Hedo stepped in for him, nothing changed. You know, when you had maybe, I don't know, you know, Mike Bibby didn't play. Well, Bobby didn't start. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's what the Warriors do.
Yeah, and you know what? When a guy goes out, the more semblance of regularity that you can keep to this, you know, normalcy, I should say, meaning that you take Patrick Kopp, bring him off the bench. Zion Livingston has found his way with the second unit that I'm sure David West, a lot of guys he works well with now instead of starting him. So it gives you regularity, but at the same time, you're right. It's a systematic approach. They're going to play the same way, whether Steph is out there or KD or they're not. And it's going to be a tough one for the Kings.
Well, they're all tough because the Kings are young and they're not very good. And so every game's tough for the Kings. It doesn't matter whether you're playing Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, or you're playing against, you know, Milwaukee tomorrow. I mean, you know, the Kings lost to the Clippers, who had, you know, again, just snapped a 9-game losing streak in Atlanta before they played the Sacramento. So, you know, the Kings aren't to a point yet, and that's fine because they knew that this was the way it was going to be. But they're not to the point yet where there are any games that they feel like they should win. They have to play their tails off to win. That's where we're at right now. And as long as we see the younger players continue to develop, and they're going to have some off nights. We saw it the other night. You know, both De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason did not play well. Well, guess what? That's going to happen. Bogdan did not play well. Guess what? That's going to happen. Maybe tonight they all three play well, and maybe they all play well tomorrow, and then they don't play well in Chicago, or they, you know, I mean, that's part of being a young player or a first-year player in this league. Look at Buddy Hield. You know, Buddy's in a second year. There have been games this year where he's looked awful, and then there was a game the other night where he looked great. That's part of being a young or a inexperienced player in this league that's still in his second year. That's just part of the deal.
Yeah. You know, Grant, you brought up something very valuable, the fact that, you know, you can't look at teams in the NBA and say, you know what, this is a win tonight for us. If the Kings did that when they went into Atlanta because they're young and this is a team that has lost more than us and they don't have a good as record of us, maybe we should get this game. They were shocked into reality.
Yeah, had the Kings come out and played in Atlanta the way they did 48 hours later against Portland, they would have beat Atlanta. But they didn't.
Easily. Yes,
yeah,
that's
but they
exactly
didn't.
Right.
And so, you know, again, I hate to keep on making excuses because to me I'm not making excuses. I'm talking about the reality. The reality of the situation is players that don't have a lot of experience in the NBA can't be expected to go out and play at a high level in terms of execution and performance every night. It's not going to happen. And I know fans have a difficult time digesting bad games and lulls, but guess what, folks? That's part of the process. So
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is. Hey, DC, we'll talk to you in about an hour on TV, bud.
You got it, man. Have a good call.
All right. Game night is coming up next. Scott Marsh and Henry Turner will be with you. So don't go anywhere because game night is coming up next here on Sports 1140.